You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And you come and save her. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
What a blessing to be here with you today and to be here with our guest on this wonderful, wonderful show. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so grateful we have our guest with us today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hey, Dawn. This is Jacob King, and I am out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am really grateful that you are here.
My pleasure.
Well, there's a lot going on in the world today, and we're in the world, but not of it. And I would love to talk with you today about some ways that we can rule and reign as kings, even in these crazy and perilous times.
Yeah, that's a great topic. And I had actually written some things about that in the past. Really, it was about a year ago. In December, it was a year ago that I have wrote this, and I would like to share a little bit of it. And you know, don't mind stopping me if you need to. Do you mind if I read a little bit of it?
Okay. Great. Oh, this is wonderful. No, we want to hear all that you have to share with us. We really do.
Okay.
We really do.
And it starts off with the thought of, how does a king rule? You know, and that's just not just king, but, you know, kings and queens. We don't want to, you know, rule anybody out. We're not subjective in that way.
That's right. That's right.
A king rules by saying. He says what he wants and recognizes that his authority is what gives his words power. Mm-hmm. He doesn't force people to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. He has the power to enforce the law based on what he says. Mm-hmm. But he is the ultimate authority. Mm-hmm. Now, in the kingdom, God has given us this creative power of speaking things into existence. From the very moment that he breathed into Adam and he became a living soul or a speaking spirit, from what some translations record. To be made into the likeness and image of God, God gave us a position that was immediately under him in authority over the whole earth. God told man to rule over all the creation on earth and subdue it. He didn't give us a big stick or a gun to rule with, but he gave us the same tool that he used to create the world. Our mouth or tongue, and the words that we speak. And those words are able to speak things into existence. But we immediately got tricked by Satan out of our authority. he first had to undermine the one rule that God established for man, not to eat of that tree. Of course, we know. Once that rule was broken, it opened the door for a change in authority. So because of sin, there became a level of separation between us and God. Our authority had been circumvented and weakened. Satan was then little g, God of this world, and he ruled the atmosphere surrounding the earth with the fallen angels that chose to follow him when he rebelled. But God has a great plan of redemption that paves our way to get our authority back. That's the first part. And I know that you have a lot that you want to...
Well, first of all, of that is incredibly powerful. And if this was the plan from the start, then why aren't men and women ruling and reigning in life? Why are so many people confused and downtrodden and just, you know, don't even know that they're kings and queens?
It goes back to who do we listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Are we listening to the voice of God, or are we listening to the voice of Satan?
Mm.
You know, Satan's job is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if he can influence you so that those things can take place, then by all means and any means, he's going to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's very powerful. So how do we practically change the voices that we're listening to right now? I mean, this very minute, if someone realizes, wow, I think I've been going the wrong way in life, or I think I've been listening to the wrong voices, or maybe my, I don't know, family of origin is crazy, or I'm programmed wrongly. I don't know. But how do we, right this minute, change those voices?
You find some positive influences in your life. Number one, you need to have a relationship with God. And that's through accepting his son as your Lord and Savior. That's number one. And once you do that, then you get to know him through his word. And those that are preaching and teaching, you know, his word. And not just taking what they say as gospel, but researching it for yourselves and finding out that what they're saying is lining up with the word. And having a positive influence on your life on a daily basis. You know, sometimes we'll start off well, but we don't stay consistent to, you know, those good habits.
That is very, very deep. Do you have more thoughts for us on ruling and reigning?
Yes, I do have a second writing that I did. My words are soldiers. It comes from, you know, the example in the Bible where the centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick, and he was about to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching Jesus that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that this man was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shalt enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And the most servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So this was, you know, a centurion, which wasn't even a Jewish man. But he had contributed, you know, to building a synagogue. It said that he built it himself, so he must have been a pretty wealthy man. But he understood how authority works. He said that he had soldiers under him, and he could tell one soldier to do whatever he told him to do, and he would do it. Well, just like the centurion, I'm a man set under authority. My words are my soldiers, and they have power. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and those that have an understanding of that will eat the fruit of what they say. That's according to Proverbs 18:21. I see now that you have what you say to the degree of belief in the words that you're saying. So your word has to be mixed with faith in order for it to benefit you. It takes longer for things to manifest when you don't believe what you speak. However, continuing to speak what you want will cause it to happen, and it will cause you to believe more because you're continuing to put that word into your heart by speaking. That's why meditation is so important. Meditation is simply repeating a word or a scripture over and over until it gets into your heart. That thing may start in your mind, but it's transferred into your heart where the belief takes place when you confess it with your mouth. This is the very essence of faith. It's how we receive salvation and everything else we need from God. Again, the scripture says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. These two verses gives us the basis for getting our life to produce what we want. It's how, you know, we can rule as kings. Along with Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say with your mouth, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, there it is again, that belief has to take place. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. And therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I have soldiers working for me, and they are my word.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That is so powerful. And there's so much I want to unpack in what you've said. The first thing that I really want us to help our friends who are listening, what if believing is hard for you? What if you've been let down a lot in life, disappointed, brokenhearted? It's hard for you to trust. How do they work around that?
I think that we've all been there where we've seen or had hope in different things, and they didn't exactly happen as we wanted them to happen. That's where it comes back to that childlike faith, that when you tell a child something, they're going to stay at it. If you tell, Daniel that we're going to go get ice cream, then that's what his expectations are.
Yeah,
that we're going to go get ice cream. Great. He's going to be like, Mom, is it time to go get ice cream? Not yet. Well, is it time to go get ice cream? 2 minutes later. Not yet. Well, is it time to go to get ice cream? 3 minutes later. there's an old saying, don't let a devilish disappointment turn into a divine delay. I'm not for sure if I said it right, but we can't allow those things that disappoint us to turn our faith notch down. Because it's impossible for God to lie. And we know that the devil is the father of lies. So when he comes to you and tells you that something is not going to happen, that's one of the biggest fears, I think, that we as believers have, that what God's promised is not going to come to pass.
Right.
That for some reason or another, we can't depend on God. But we know that's a lie, because it's impossible for God to promise us something and then not come through with it. You see what I'm saying? So that constant reminder that regardless of what was going on, we got to come back and be like, when are we going to get that ice cream? I was promised some ice cream along the way. I expect to see some ice cream and be able to enjoy my ice cream, at some point. Whether it's now or a couple of days from now, I expect to see some ice cream. Because mommy or daddy promised me, some ice cream.
Yes. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful and so helpful. Thank you. It makes me also think about those moments. And I wonder if you can speak to this for us. Maybe there are some moments where it seems like everyone's getting blessed but you. Maybe your whole social media is praise reports. Every time you go to church, it's positive testimonies. Everyone, the line is moving, but not for you.
Yeah, that's often really a test of how can I put this? It's like when the scripture says, to be happy for others, rejoice with others.
Rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yeah, that's a test to see if you're going to be happy when other people are getting theirs. And, you know, just know that it doesn't have an effect on your receiving yours. By you right. being a millionaire, mm-hmm. it doesn't have anything to do with me being a millionaire.
That's right.
It doesn't take away from my ability. Because,
right.
you know, one of the names of God is El Shaddai.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. he not only is it a representation of Almighty, but it has the imagery of multiple-breasted one. That mm. means that he has enough milk for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, by somebody else getting blessed, it doesn't, you know, take away from your ability to be black. Like,
right.
well, that right. should give us an incentive to be like, well, they got theirs. I know I'm going to get mine.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know, oftentimes we have the wrong attitude when we see somebody else getting black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that I love what you're saying, because this is a wonderful moment, too, where humility comes before honor. And so sometimes mm-hmm. when I see people that are getting blessed in an area where I'm not, I try to bless them. I try to be a blessing to them. I try to get around them. I ask them to pray for me. And I have seen a lot of divine acceleration that way. It takes humility, and you have to go to them and say, wow, I see that you're a millionaire. Do you have any wise words for me? Do you have any mentoring words? Will you pray for me? Will you help me? And a lot of times I've had people come to me about different areas. You know, pray for me in this area, because we're supposed to be community, not competition. And so maybe you have a gift in an area. Maybe, you know, it is no problem for you to believe God for healing, but you're struggling with finances. Or maybe you're just great when it comes to, you know, really grasping scripture and all of that, but you're struggling with something else. And that's where we all can lift up each other's arms, and we can really encourage each other in the faith. So I love what you're saying. And I wonder about, what about the times when it looks like just nothing is happening, where everything is just static? I mean, you're praying, you're fasting, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You know, it's not like you have hidden sin in the camp or anything like that. You really are doing the very best you know to do. But it doesn't look like anything's moving. It doesn't look like anything's happening. What do we do then?
Well, I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this last week, I was mm-hmm. doing some study over Mark chapter 4.
Mm.
And, you know, it's that parable of the seed that's being sown on, you know, different grounds. Well, if you think about it, when the seed is sown, it's placed underground.
Yes.
Underground is dark. Underground. Mm. It doesn't look like anything is going on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel good to the seed. It doesn't look like anything is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, you know, the seed does is breaking down and becoming rooted and mm-hmm. grounded in that soil. So that it can produce that 30, that 60, that 100-fold. So, mm-hmm. depending upon what kind of seed it is, it might be, you know, some months before that first sprout comes out.
Yeah.
So, the farmer doesn't go and dig up that seed and
mm-hmm.
Say, well, I didn't see anything happening, so let me dig it up and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, you know, in our lives, it's a process
mm-hmm.
of continuing to be rooted, continuing to be grounded in the Word, continuing to let the seeds that we're sowing with our mouth, the things that we're saying, be developed in our heart so that it will bring forth the desired produce that we need to have, that victory, that healing, that financial blessing,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is that we need. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely, and brilliantly, okay. might I add. You know, when people tell me that nothing is happening, I always, you know, there's just nothing's happening. God's not doing anything. I always plead with them to reconsider what anything means. You know, it's impossible for God to do nothing. So maybe he's not doing exactly what you wanted him to do or you asked him to do, but he's not doing anything. And a lot of times when we sit down and start counting our blessings, we start actually getting a grateful heart, we realize God is doing a lot. It may not look exactly like what we asked him for. You know, you asked him for $1 million, but you just got a promotion on your job. You know, he's doing something. You know, he's taking care of you. He's blessing your loved ones. He's doing, if we really sit down and think about it, he's doing a lot. And that's where gratitude comes in. No, maybe it's not exactly what you were hoping or asking for yet, but a lot is happening. And the other thing is, a lot of times we have to praise God for what's not happening. Like, this could have been so much worse. This could have been so much more dangerous. This could have been, you know, the things that didn't happen to us, the things that God spared us from. I think we have to spend a lot of time praising him for those as well. And so if you're thinking right now that maybe God isn't moving for you, why isn't he moving? Why isn't he doing anything? I really want to point you to Genesis chapter 1, because the very first verse says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that's a lot. But in verse 2, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So even when it looked like a really big, dark mess, people were like, wow, not very promising. The Spirit of God was still moving. And in the third verse, God speaks and he says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So even when it looks like, wow, this is really nothing without form and void and it's dark, the Spirit of God is moving. And so that's why I love so much what you're teaching us today, because I believe it's going to heal a lot of hearts. Wow. Well, I truly believe that this show is a divine appointment, that our steps are ordered for us to hear what this amazing guest is sharing with us today. And so when we come back, we'll hear much more, and I'm so grateful. We'll be right back.
Come and save her. Let her believe it. Get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles. But the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you to the sponsors, the donors, this network, everyone who makes this labor of love possible. We have to have a miracle just about every month, and we do. And so we're thankful to all of you who are part of that miracle.
I am especially thankful for our guest today. What a tremendous man of faith, a real king in the earth today. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
My name is Jacob King, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you. Can you tell us how to contact you? Someone may need your consulting services. They may need help from you. They may even want a speaker for their group or their podcast.
You can contact me through my phone number, 614-769-8850.
Perfect. What a wonderful, wonderful force in the kingdom of God you are. We are so much enjoying what you're sharing with us, and I wanted to make sure, do you have other ideas about this that you would like to share with us?
Well, it's just having a continual reminder mm-hmm. that you are kings and queens,
mm-hmm.
that you are a royal nation.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a chosen priesthood. So, you know, you have to continue to remember your identity in Christ.
That's powerful.
That we rule and reign in life through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, according to Romans chapter 5. That, you know, it's not for life to get on top of us, but for us to rule in life.
Wow. I really feel a lot of people do not know this wisdom, or they would act a lot differently than they do. Right? Kings and queens behave differently. Princes and princesses behave differently, we hope, ideally. Right? And so what happens to our lives when we really get the idea? It sinks down into us like revelation knowledge that we are new creatures in Christ.
Well, like you said, our behavior is going to be different. Do you remember coming to America, the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You remember when, I forget the, Sherry Hadley's character.
Yes.
When they were sitting at the table and she was like, there's something regal about you.
Yes.
Like, you're above the petty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was raised as a prince.
Yes.
So, even though he said he was a goat herder, he displayed and his mannerisms and were giving off something different.
Mhm. Mhm.
So
yes.
that's what we have to do. Our
yes.
character, our mannerisms, our behavior. You know, to exemplify, you know, that of kings and queens. So
yes.
our value mm-hmm. system is going to be different as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really, thank you for using that example because that's perfect. I was driving around on the reservation one day with my Uncle Jerry Wolf, who was a beloved man of the Cherokees. World War II veteran, D-Day hero, I mean, an amazing man of God in his church. And we saw beer bottles and some trash. And it was signs that some people on that road had been partying. And he said, that's what happens when young people don't know they come from warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And that just rested in my spirit, just like what you're saying. I mean, We've all met people that their spirit was just different. It resonated differently. You knew. And then finally they told you they were in church, or they told you you knew they were a Christian. You just knew they were. And you're talking to them and you knew they were believers. You could just feel something different about them. A good spirit, a right spirit about them. And if you know you're a queen, if you know you're a king, there's some things that you just won't do. They won't be interesting to you. There's some people you won't date because they just won't even be attractive to you. They're just not, you know, not that you're better than they are or you're looking down on them. It's just, I'm not interested in going that way. It changes everything about your outlook. There's just some things you won't do. You're just not interested. It just doesn't appeal to you because you are royalty. Go ahead.
Just to kind of piggyback off of that, you know, think about, you know, the mass shootings and murder and different things like that. Often that occurs because people don't understand the value of life.
Wow, yes, you're right. You're right.
They don't value their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin with, they believe certain things about themselves. Like, when I was growing up, there was this big thing that we didn't know whether we were going to make it to be 21. As a black male.
Wow.
We didn't know. So it was not a good outlook. That either you were going to be shot or in jail or dead. So imagine having that loom over you.
Yeah,
to where
right.
You didn't know your value. And the things that were influencing the media to put those things out there. So that's why it's so important to have some positive influence in your life so that you will begin to know your personal value so that you will begin to value other people.
Wow. I mean, that's king speak right there. What you just said, that is kingdom words coming from you. And even the fact that you walk through this life with the name King is so powerful to me, you know, because our family, we're enrolled members of a recognized tribe. We're indigenous as well as other things. And names are so powerful. Names are so powerful that indigenous people have ceremonies and they name you. And then later in your life, you can change your name. My name changed. I was given a new name in ceremony, Mother of Nations, and I didn't even have children then. And then now I'm a mother for real. And we change our names. We have people bless us with names. You can gift your name to someone else even. And I think a big part of my life, walking through life, being called Dawn, which is literally a beautiful part of the day. I mean, it's gorgeous to look at. It's a new start, a fresh start. It's everything. I have always drawn a lot of medicine and power from that. And so I think what we call ourselves and what we call others is really important in what you're saying, too. You know, we have the power to bless people. When we see those youth, we can speak life to them. We can tell them, you know, that they are kings and queens and that they don't have to go down a path of fatalism and nihilism and negativity, you know, that they're called, they have purpose and destiny. And I love what you're sharing with us because this is a place where all of us can help one another. We can speak to each other this way. We can build up each other, remind each other of who we really are. Who is our identity in Christ, and who are we called to be? This is how we exhort one another. And so I love this. I love this. I love this. The prodigal son, right? The prodigal son was looking at the pig's food. He was looking at slop thinking, well, you know, maybe I should eat this. But the Bible says he came to himself. I mean, in a pigsty, in a mess, in stink and filth and rottenness and uncleanness, he came to himself and said, I will arise. You know, the servants in my father's house have plenty. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And so if someone right now is kind of just sitting in a mess, they got the wrong boyfriend and they know it. They're in trouble and they know it. Maybe they're doing things they know better. And they need to come to themselves. Practically speaking, how do they do that?
Well, that's the first step, you know, is admitting that you need help.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. we can't do this on our own. And, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. the whole reason why Jesus came.
Amen.
We can do this on our own.
Right.
We right. need a savior.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing him to come into our mess and make it a message. Come into
amen.
The test and turn it into a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the first step, admitting that, hey, I'm in this over my head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then, you know, making an action plan to, you know, help get yourself out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step in the action plan is to pray. You know,
mm-hmm.
pray and ask God for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, before you're get some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
he will give you the right steps to take, you know, to get you where you want to be.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's so much hope right there. And one of the amazing things in what you're saying that comes to my mind right away, you know, kings and queens and royalty, have you noticed that kings and queens and royalty associate with other royalty? Like usually,
yeah.
Most of the time, kings and princesses and princes and queens and duchesses and countesses, they're together. Royalty speaks with royalty. They marry other royalty, usually. They're friends with other royalty, usually. And iron sharpens iron, you know. And so what's the importance of having other kings and queens as our friends and associates?
That's a very important thing because, you know, you just utilize an important scripture, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to help each other. You know, earlier in the conversation, you were saying that if one person is strong in healing, another not so good in finances, they can trade off and, you know, help each other in those different situations. The importance of what Paul was saying when he said, forsake not the coming together in unity. That's how we're built up into the body of Christ. Because, you know, one person might be the finger, another person might be the toe, but it all takes each of us to make up the whole body.
Yes.
When we come together mm-hmm. in the unity of the body of Christ, that's when we develop maturity and growth.
Mm-hmm. I am really impressed with what you're saying, too, because I think sometimes we overlook how important some of our parts of the body are. Right, we spend a lot of time on our face, but if you break your ankle, your life is different. You know, it's like, wow, that lipstick just not doing a thing right now. And I love that. But I want to say something to parents and grandparents, too. This is the wonderful privilege we have, all of us have. We get to raise kings and queens. You know, it breaks my heart when I hear parents call their own children a name, an ugly name, or use a, you know, call them something that's not at all kind or appropriate, you know, or speak badly about their children, you know. I hear moms say, you know, well, I guess I got to round up my little monsters. They're not monsters. They're kings and queens. They are. And if you speak to them like that, that's what they'll become. They really will. If we talk to our children and call our children strong and righteous and good, kind, blessed, highly favored, men of Issachar who know and understand the times and know what we ought to do. Virtuous women. You know, stop calling. I mean, the world has so many awful things to say to people. We should be a font of good things. When your children wake up in the morning, you have a chance to bless them. You have a chance to bless them when they fall asleep. You have a chance to let them know they are kings and queens. They are the blessing of the Lord. I mean, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. These are prizes, ladies and gentlemen. These are rewards into our lives, not burdens, not baggage, not mistakes or problems. These are God telling you, I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you favor. I'm giving you a blessing in your life. And I want to encourage us to really talk to our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our godchildren, all the children around you. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have children. Well, yes, you do. Everybody has children. Even if they're not your children exactly, they are children in your neighborhood, in your classroom, in your church. And you, some of the people who I can remember as children weren't related to me at all, but they were kind to me. They were loving to me. And I still remember them to this day. And so let's be those people. You know, let's be those people who speak life into the lives of children. You know, it breaks my heart when I hear parents and grandparents or just people talking about how bad kids are or how they're just terrible kids or they're bad kids. No, they're not. They're not. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe their behavior is not living up to that right now. But that's where your words come in. That's where your love comes in. That's where the love of God comes in. And we can all do that.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the biggest lies that we were told as children was, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones,
mm-hmm.
but words will never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, words do have hurt. Words,
mm-hmm.
you know, have the ability to hurt. They also have the ability to heal. They
mm-hmm.
have the ability to cast down. They also mm-hmm. have the ability to lift people up. So we should be
mm-hmm.
mindful, you know, to utilize our words to lift people up, especially our children, as you were saying.
That's beautiful. And there's one other group of people we've got to start lifting up a little bit better, and that's ourselves. You know, I don't know about guys. I won't speak to that. I'll just say that among women, a lot of times it breaks my heart. I have friends that are so beautiful, so intelligent, women of God, good women, and yet they walk past a mirror and go, there's my fat behind again. Or they talk about what's wrong with them or flawed about them. And I'm like, what? You're great. You know, it's just, you're terrific. What is... You know, okay, your nails aren't done. You can do those later. You look nice. I don't want us to fall into the trap of talking to ourselves in this voice. You know, sometimes the devil doesn't even have to come by the house if we do his work for him. If we tear down
Ooh.
Other people and ourselves, he don't even have to come, right? He's like, oh, good. They got that covered. Ooh, I got chill bumps when I said that, too. Wow.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that. We want to, you know, so we need to speak to ourselves kindly, too. Start agreeing with what God says about you. You know, start agreeing. with the word about you, you know? And I'm not talking about egotism where, oh, I'm so great and I'm just whatever. I'm saying that you are good because God says you are. He beautifies the meek with salvation. So you're beautiful just because you belong to God. And, you know, if you have a nice hairdo, that is a plus. But it is not. That's not what makes you beautiful. And I want us to start talking to ourselves with more mercy. You know, I've always been really high-powered, a high achiever, really incredibly high-achieving, probably too high-achieving at times. And one day I said something to, you know, myself. I mean, I said it to myself, but my best friend heard it. And she said, you're so kind and loving to everybody but you.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so for some of us, we have to change our self-talk. We have to change the way we are. Our worth and value is in God, not in what we look like, not in what we win or don't win, not in what we do or achieve, how much money, anything. It's just in God. And so I want to make sure while we're speaking kindly to everyone else, especially our young people, I want to make sure we start speaking kindly to ourselves, thinking kindly about ourselves, show ourselves a little mercy. Right? I mean, if your best friend made a mistake, you wouldn't tear them up and shred them up and beat them up. You just love them and forgive them and help them. Well, maybe you should be your best friend, your own best friend, too.
Amen.
I have loved every minute of this conversation, and I know it was divinely ordered and ordained for you to be with us today. And I want to make sure if there's anything else you want to share with us that you get a few minutes to do that. And so you can pray for us, you can speak to us, but I'm going to hand you the mic for the last few minutes of this show.
Well, I've enjoyed our conversation as well, as always. And just the reminder of being kings and queens.
Yeah.
Being who God created us to be. Not only were we made in his image and his likeness, but we have the same creative ability that he has, being a person that can speak things into existence.
Wow.
So let's be mindful, you know, to put our authority under his, of course, but to utilize that authority and not let our authority be used against us, by us, or the enemy.
Right.
So, you know, I definitely have some hump day inspiration from our conversation here today. And I hope the listeners have had some as well.
Amen. Wow. I am just, you know, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your example and your witness and your walk in the earth. And I thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to all our friends who listen. We are so thankful for you. And I hope that you feel loved and cared for today, and that this conversation has helped to remind you that God loves you. Yes, you, just like you are. You'll do better later, and Jesus will help. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I thank you all for joining us today.
You come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. What the world forgave you.
She's silent. She's
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.